Hi everyone, we're back for another expert interview today, and I am here with my good friend Sean Kernan. Hi Sean, how are you?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Good, good. Thank you. So today what we want to talk about is, well, you might have guessed it, Quora. I even dug out my merch from back in the day that I still have, and Sean I think is the best person to talk about when it comes to Quora. Sean is I think you definitely have one of the most followed accounts on the platform. I don't know exactly because I haven't been keeping tabs as much, but you're definitely like, I don't know, probably like top 10 accounts or something in terms of followers. But also just like you've been active, so active on there. The consistency is just amazing, literally amazing. And so I started writing on Quora in 2017, I think properly. I've done a couple of answers before. So, and for anyone who doesn't know, I think you'll know at this point, but Quora is this question and answer side, right? It's like a question and answer side with social media elements. So you can write, you can answer questions, you can ask questions, you can make some money doing either. Actually, no, I think no more for the questions. But and then you can practice your writing, you can learn how to write. And then there's just people giving various answers to various questions. And thus, yeah, the whole writing circle goes around. And so when I was doing that, it was as like a daily practice for writing, because it's really easy to start writing there. And eventually, yeah, like Sean kept popping up again and again with just these blockbuster answers, just like very great answers, very, very focused, very framed around one issue or one particular point. And so Sean really knew how to drive the point home. And we started interacting a little bit, went back and forth in the comments sometimes. And then later Sean came to Medium and started writing on Medium, which is where I was more active. And so we started talking a little more about the dynamics of the various platforms and so on. So yeah, I'm just very happy to be talking to Sean today about this. And just get to pick his brain about Quora and how's it all going. And the way I want to start this is the way we did it last time, which is I just want to start rolling with the first question. And then Sean can talk a little bit about himself, what got him where he is today and what he's doing. And that first question is, why did you start, when and why did you start writing on Quora? Because even I don't really know the origin story of that, I think.
No, okay, cool. Thanks for the kind introduction. Yeah, I think it was 2016. I was a financial analyst at the time, and I was going through a sort of weird phase in my life. I'd gone through a divorce and all these things, and I'd seen a lot of my friends going through similar phases and treating that experience entirely the wrong way, going out and partying and drinking. And I knew that I wanted to have some type of productive hobby. And every time I typed a question into Google, I always do this anyways. I'm just very curious about random things. It kept taking me to Quora. And Quora's business model really is when you type a question into the search bar, that it takes you to their site. That's how that is their niche. And I started seeing the same names writing there. And I realized that anyone could write on the site. And it was a matter of knowing the answer to a question. It was a very simple premise. And for those who don't know, Quora was founded by the first chief technology officer of Facebook. The feed is very similar to Facebook's. When you look at it, Pat, it's got a different color scheme and some nuances that are different. But overall, it's very similar. So I started writing there. And I think one night I wrote an answer about bullying and getting beaten up on the playground. And the next morning I woke up and I had 3,000, 4,000 notifications. And I couldn't believe. You know, I'm just a regular person. I don't have viral things. And so suddenly I saw all these upvotes and comments. I mean, I had thousands of comments, and you get that dopamine rush from it. It's very exciting. You're like, wow, this is cool. People liked something I wrote. And I could just continue writing and it snowballed and built into something bigger than I ever thought it would be. And I'm still writing there. It's been just about 6 years now. And, yeah, I've been able to travel to Quora's headquarters. I've been able to make a pretty solid side income doing this. In 2 days, I'm going to be doing a presentation for 1,000 potential creators that are coming to the site. So me and this other writer. And it's just amazing to see how far everything has come, because, you know, 5 years ago, the idea of being paid to write was such, you know, it was a distant conversation, and it was pretty much confined to niche blogs and news websites and paid commissions. And now we just have so many open platforms that are paying us. And not only open platforms that are paying us, but platforms that are flirting with paying us. And you can kind of tell they have these, the word creators is the word you should look out for. So LinkedIn has like creator mode enabled. Twitter has got, I'm in a group called Creator Insiders. It's an official Twitter group. So there are so many opportunities that are coming along the pipeline. And I think because I started writing on the side and having a productive hobby and learned to enjoy this just for the sake of doing it, I think it positioned me and you, Nick, because you did the same thing. I think it positioned us to thrive and do well in this environment. We had a few like years of experience under our belt already. We'd put in our 100,000 words that we'd written. And so, yeah, it's definitely a great time to dabble in this. If you want a side income from writing, if you're just curious to start writing. And I think that there's a lot of traps in doing it. And I think that, yeah, I mean, I think investing in a course is a very smart thing to do. I think if I were to do it from scratch, from zero, I would probably invest in a course, and be it yours or someone else's, hopefully yours.
Yeah. I mean, I bought some courses also early on when I started writing, and it just helped me. It just helped me figure out what I want and what I don't want. Right. It's kind of like buying a book or like buying anything else. Like it can help you. It can show you a path that you might want to walk on or you don't, but you got to walk on that path to find out if it's for you or not. Right. And so I bought some marketing courses, and a lot of the stuff ultimately wasn't for me, but it was still super helpful to learn. I'm still using part of those skills today, and the rest, it was also good to know that I had to take a different route and frame my writing differently or position things differently when I try to sell them or things like that. What I'm curious about, did you like writing before, and did you write as a hobby before you were writing on Quora? So was that sort of two things meeting that were already kind of there, or was it literally, oh, now it's like I could answer questions also, right? So why don't I just do that?
Yeah, I had talked about wanting to write for a long time, for many years, actually. I was a voracious reader, just read tons and tons of books. And it's funny because I think that there's just so many people who flirt with the idea of writing as well, who say they want to write a book, who say want to take up writing. I'm at this point, I'm convinced it's like 80% of the population has a book they want to write in the back of their head, because anytime I talk to people and I tell them that I'm a writer, they sort of light up, and half the time they're very curious in a way that suggests they're thinking about it too, or they just outright say, you know, I want to write a book, or I want to write this. And I've always told people, you know, there's no rules on who isn't and isn't a writer. The only rule of being a writer is that you actually write, and there's no substitute for it. You really have to start like typing on the keyboard and putting words on a page. And this is very daunting for a lot of people. And it was daunting for me as well. I found that there's an intimidation factor. And I think it's sort of like exercise. I think that with exercise, it's always like the first 10 minutes is the worst. You're kind of getting your body moving until you get into like a flow with your jog or whatever it is. And for me, that's what would happen. And I think that with Quora, because you can write such chunk sized answers, and you don't have to write these big prolific essays, it offered a very tangible, easy way of actually, you know, getting the ball moving and seeing that you could, you know, there's a form of validation that you get as well, because you can write this short paragraph and get hundreds and thousands of upvotes, and it gives you confidence. So the next stage for me from there was I went and I did a Medium, and Medium is longer form essays. And so you go from writing these, you know, and to be clear, on Quora, you can write very long answers too. I've seen 8,000 word answers, but I would typically write between 3 and 500 word answers. So I moved to Medium, and that doubled. I went up to 1,100 word essays, and there was kind of a learning curve. Like you have to learn to transition your ideas into a little broader sense, a broader like page. And, you know, eventually I moved from that to writing, I ghost wrote a book. And that's a learning curve as well. You're going and you're writing 80 pages, 90 pages deep, then 200 pages deep. And at the end of the day, it's all just writing, and it's all in your head, really. It's the blocks from doing it. Like once you get going and you believe in yourself and you develop that confidence, you get to a point where you think, you know, I can write anywhere. I feel good with this. I don't know if that made any sense, but that's kind of how I think of it. It's kind of early for me still, but...
No, it totally does, because for me it was the other way around, because I was on Medium first, and I was on Medium for pretty much 3 years or two and a half at least before I went to Quora. So Quora felt so easy in terms of just writing on there, because like the question, you always have a prompt, right? And on Medium, I didn't really have prompts. So, and you had the longer format and so on. So I was like, okay. And then I actually did it the other way around, where in terms of mistakes that I made on Quora early on, I wrote too long answers for a while, right? Because I just ported the essay format to Medium. And I was like, sometimes that works and sometimes that makes sense, but most questions you don't need that. And you also don't, I mean, there's a million ways to answer every question, right? And you could answer a question about relationships framed through animals. I mean, you use animals a lot in your answers, right? Or something totally different. So you can use metaphors, and it's usually enough if you have one good metaphor and you paint that sort of in colors, I want to say, rather than black and white. And you do that, you can do that totally in 200, 300, 400, 500 words. So I also had to adjust a bit, but then it was, and it's such good fun. Like you said, the validation, and there's lots of upvotes, lots of comments, lots of engagement. On Medium, people nowadays say, oh, or like, you should go to Medium because you have instant readers there and so on. I feel like Quora probably still has way more of that than Medium, in terms of like feedback you get, comments and so on. You get some on Medium, much more so than on, you know, like your own WordPress site or whatever. But Quora even has even more of that. So in terms of the fun part, because Zuli and I the other day talked about fun and how we both had so much fun in the beginning that before we knew it, we were 1, 2, 3 years in. And I think that's probably one of the best ways to do it, right? And I think for you, it was similar because you also, there was no money in the beginning, right? There was no partner programs, nothing. So it's a bit of a game, right? But you enjoy playing the game and you enjoy learning and improving your skill. I think that, yeah, we all have that in common, or a lot of the writers I know, at least, that have built some kind of following over time, have that in common, that initially it was just like for the love, and then eventually the money kind of came later on.
I think that it's also fun, the exploration side of it. There's a novelty factor when you come to this new site and you see all these new buttons and all this new features that works. You know, we're kind of old veterans now in the game of online writing. You know, I've been, you know, I'm 3 years on Medium, 6 years on Quora, and that's and it's like, you know, you age like doggy years in this world. Like people come and go a lot, right?
Yes, they do.
And I think that it's fun because, like, you come in and I just wanted to crack this problem and see, you know, why does certain content not get seen well? And when I came to Medium and I bumped into you again on Medium, you know, Medium was a whole different thing too. I was looking at it and I was like, why is my content not doing well? And I had a chip on my shoulder because I had done well on Quora, but I was starting from scratch on Medium and I wanted to figure this new platform out. It was kind of it's a game. And writing on the internet is different than writing a book, for sure. If you have half a brain cell, you eventually realize that reader retention is a big part of this. Like, you need to figure out how to keep readers and get them to finish the actual article.
Yeah.
And so that part of it, you know, and that's kind of a double-edged sword too. You can get into this sort of weird place where you're gaming your writing too much and it's turning into a BuzzFeed article rather than like a thoughtful essay. And so, you know, you make trade-offs. That's all of these things, you know, come together. And at the end of the day, I think with writing on Quora, writing on Medium, writing anywhere, it all comes back to the basics of writing. You know, that the funny thing is that I get asked so often for writing advice, and everything I've ever thought of to give them in terms of tips is basically something an English teacher has told me at some point. You know, there's some unconventional tips and things that I have too, but it really is like, it's like open strong, close strong, you know, have like one main idea per paragraph, have great detail, avoid cliches. It's just, you know, but I think it's just, you have to go through that learning curve and stay reflective about your writing. And I think that the big trap too, you know, I'm kind of going on tangents here, but
That's totally fine.
I think that the sort of the two big traps with writing is to become too clickbaity and rely on like BuzzFeed sort of, you know, hacky sort of, it's hard to explain, but I know you know what I'm talking about.
It just feels wrong, right? You just look at it and you're just like, as a reader, you're just like, that doesn't feel right. And you can tell, like, when you look, like any reader can tell when they look at it. And
car salesman.
If
a used car salesman wrote an essay, that's what it would look like. And it's like, you know, like the fourth sentence is like, and you won't believe what happens in this next part. Like, you didn't even need to write that part. You could have just transitioned to the paragraph. And so, like, that's one of the traps. The other trap, too, I think, is to become too married to one way of doing things. And you can find that one style of writing does really well for a certain amount of time. But if you're not flexible and willing to shift and change and be self-reflective and realize that, you know, just because this type of writing did really well for me. You know, for example, like when I did the bet with Better Marketing, you know, we had that really crazy run where I did the marketing disasters.
Oh, yeah. That was just that? Something else. Like,
yeah. And like no one, I figured there was a hole in the platform. Basically, no one was writing about marketing disasters. And so I started writing about them and they went viral. And then sure enough, like copycat articles came in. Like you had lots of other disasters. It was like a wave of them.
Oh my God. Yeah. Everybody wanted to write about like Kendall Jenner and the Pepsi, or like the in the Philippines, I think it was this protest, right? Like violent protest, or like,
oh, that was, yeah, that one was mine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was yours. But then afterwards we got like, everyone wanted basically to write the same. I'm like, we already covered this, right? Like, so you got to at least find some new disasters if you want to do that type of article.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was like, so I, you know, that's, and it's funny because that goes right back to the basics of like business, because the threat of copycats, you know, you have copycat businesses that come in. So you have to always stay moving. And I was explaining this to Laura the other day. I was like, because I was thinking about the new title for my book and the strategy for it. And I said to Laura, I was like, you know, if I were to write an article, The Secret Life of Caterpillars, and it went mega viral on a platform, I can promise you within 48 hours, there's going to be the secret life of you know, larva, the secret life of raccoons, the secret life of birds, because that's what people do. They cut, and there's,
yeah,
and there's value in that. Like as a new writer, you should be doing that. Like you should be looking at what people are doing, because that's a great way to get started. You look at what people are doing that's successful and see if you can add something to that conversation, because when you're getting those early reps in, it's hard to start at zero. And I think using templates and picking a role model as a writer to sort of modify your style and sort of map that style out on top of the sort of template that they use can help you get those reps in and build your own style.
Yeah.
So I get on my high horse a little bit sometimes on this topic. So it's,
no, I mean, you've earned that right. So that's more than fair. And I think it's also good to see how your perspective, or how generally writers' perspectives, evolve over time on these things, right? Because like you said, it can also, I mean, this can also become a trap at some point, right? Like if you just keep repeating the same stuff over and over again, or 5 years in, you're just using templates, you haven't really merged any of them into your own stuff, because that's what usually happens over time.
Yeah.
Then it's also like
training wheels. Like, yeah.
Like at some point they got to come off and you got to go and try something new. And I think also what can sometimes happen is when you grow up and you mature, sometimes you realize it's not necessarily that you need to learn how the platform works again. Maybe you're like, a trend comes back around. You're like, okay, I've seen this, you know, like 3-4 times now before. It's all a cycle. And it's you who has outgrown the platform and you need to try something else, like writing a book maybe, right? Or like going to your own blog, or like trying a different platform, because sometimes you can't do that in the platform or the context that you have. Sometimes the context just doesn't, you know, like give you what you need to keep improving. And then that can also be a thing. And that's also a tough thing to realize and to go through with, right? Because you've been on this platform for a while, you realize maybe it's working, but or like on paper it's working, but you know, you're not learning, or like you can't go where you want to go with your writing. So, and over time, like this just, it gets more, but in the beginning, yeah, I agree also. That's what I did also, just imitate my favorite bloggers and these kinds of things.
And I think that, I think it goes to your point. I think it's important that you are taking a pulse of your surroundings and getting a feel for what the readers are seeing on the platform and what they might be tired of seeing. And you don't want to be beating a dead horse, or, you know, the other thing that you can kind of flip it though. You can see what's going on the platform, see the type of, you have to think like kind of a, the head of a journalism department at a newspaper. Like you got to think strategically and meta. And you gotta say, well, I think readers are kind of tired of hearing about narcissism, or they're tired of hearing this doom bait. You know, what can I talk about that's different? And one thing I try to do is I try to write to my criticisms of a platform. I think of the things that annoy me about the writing that I see. And I try to account for that in a way that's still friendly. I don't want to take shots at people, but more in terms of the style of content that I do. And I think with the marketing disaster one, the reason I thought of that one was I didn't see enough storytelling. People were giving kind of 101 essays and information dumps in marketing, but I saw it was a way to just switch into storytelling. And to be honest, I did that to the point of fault. You know, I did too many of them, and eventually it kind of died off and it got kind of beat to death. And I had to go do other things. And recently I've been doing them again because there hasn't been that many. And so you can always come back to this stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's the fun thing about being a writer, I think, is that you get to wear lots of hats, and you want to think like a reader. You want to size up the platform. You got to think strategically in sort of a business hat about what's going on. And you get to engage with readers and build relationships too. So it's a very rewarding career. It's the best job I've ever had, for sure.
Oh, nice. That's cool. Yeah, I would say the same. Like, we'll do it all again, like in a Thanos finger snap or whatever, and just
like that.
Yeah, just like do it all again. So we've been talking a little bit about this already. Like, what would you recommend to people starting, like someone starting on Quora right now when they write? You said, try things that work, right? Try like analyze the platform, like from a business perspective, like where's holes in the content, where's too much of something and too little of something else.
Yeah.
And I don't know, is there something else? Like if I'm opening Quora today and it's like, I'm signing up, making my account, I got no idea, but like, it looks cool and I want to try it. Like, what is the, what do I got to watch out for? Could be traps, could be things I should do, but.
So first off, you need to remember that Quora, more so than any other platform, the feed reacts to what you engage with. And if you don't like a certain topic that's appearing in your feed, if you're getting like a feed that's constantly answers about like Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, you can mute those topics. You can download those questions. You need to figure out how to do those things. Just Google how to do it. Don't engage with things that you don't like, or you're going to be signing yourself up for hell. It's a thing, we call it hate reading. Hate reading is when you basically read stuff that you know is going to piss you off and annoy you. But by doing so, you sign yourself up for more of it. If you customize your feed, you can get only answers about kangaroos. I mean, it's all about finding what you're interested in and writing about that first. Because I think that when you're starting, it's important that you write about things that you know about. So when I started writing on Quora, like I said before, I was going through a divorce and I was dating and stuff. And so I wrote a ton of dating answers. I was like a dating guru, and I was writing about, it was crazy. And just about all the, cause it was such a rich topic anyways, everyone has dated and dealt with all the bullshit, excuse my French. And so I would just tell stories because I had so many of them. And that was a really great starting point for me. If you're a new parent, you could write about, you know, all the madness and chaos of having small children. If you just took a new job in some field and you suddenly know all these cool new things, you could write about that. You really need to follow your gut instinct to the topics that you're drawn to. Like, what is it? Just let it at a basic, like, evolutionary, deep level, like, what are you drawn to? Write about that. What do you think about as you go through your day? Like, what are the topics that go through your head? Hopefully something's happening in there. And write about that, like, because you're going to have something to say, and writing an essay helps you flesh out your thoughts and really understand what you're going to do. And if you're going through difficulties with your husband or wife, you can sort of like go through that thought process by writing on the platform. You don't have to spill the beans, but you can, you know, just talk about it, like grief or even grief. I mean, anything. That's the beauty, is that Quora, more so than any other platform, is very democratized. You can write about anything.
That's cool. Okay. So there's a few things I want to pull out. So first of all, the last thing you said, I still agree with that. Like, it's very democratized in the sense that even if you're a totally new account, you could write 5 or 10 answers, like the experience you had in the beginning, and one can go viral. And it happened to me also relatively early on. I didn't have to write that many answers before one. And that's a really cool experience, because that really gets you to invest and try and do more. The other thing is that I thought this is genius. I never thought of it, that you would go in and customize your own feed first. Because when I came to Quora, I was basically already in the mindset of, okay, I want to write for this platform. I want to figure out how it works. But I didn't really think about it much from a reader consumer perspective, which I think a lot of people, they read on Quora for a while and then they start writing, right? Like on the platform. And I think it's quite like to be intentional about the feed that you get and that you curate Especially if you know you want to write, you keep that in mind. I think that's such a good move, because you basically, like, at some point I would also just open my feed, go through it, and then if I saw either a cool answer to a question that I liked or an interesting question, I would answer it. And if you say, okay, yeah, I'm an expert on fly fishing or whatever, you can customize your feed, you go through that, and then you add something to the topic. And especially initially, that's also, it's a confidence booster. Like, it helps when you talk about something you know, or at least you feel you know well enough to be talking about it, add something to the conversation. It's like you have a conversation at a dinner party somewhere and you throw something in, right? And whatever's on your mind at the time, like you said, if you're going through something, then that's probably a good place to start.
Can I add one more thing?
Sure.
If you can use your real name, you don't have to anymore, but I think that one thing a lot of people underestimate is that who you are matters. Readers want to have a relationship with you. Use your real name, use a real picture of yourself, and be authentic about who you are. Doing that will cause you to get more views and make more money at the end of the day. They want to know who you are and know that you're a real person. We are in a world full of anonymous people on the internet who are mean and nasty to each other. When you use your real name and your picture of yourself, there's a level of accountability and trust that you don't get outside of that. And when I first joined Quora, there was a real name, there was a mandatory real name policy to reduce harassment. And I was terrified to use my real name, but I didn't have a choice. So, because when I tried to use a real name, it suspended my a fake name, it suspended my account. But when I switched to my real name, and I am so glad I did, because it allowed me to transfer my name to this new platform. My friends might recognize me that are on the platform and they'll read my stuff. It just cascades benefits in other parts of your life. I mean, I take selfies with random strangers sometimes. It's cool, like, but on so many levels, it's important that you're authentic and be yourself.
I think that's a good addition. And I also did it somewhat naturally, but I'm also really glad that I did it, because also over time, especially as you write on multiple platforms and so on, it's so much easier to bring everything back home to yourself, because you don't have to recreate this persona on all the platforms, right? And it's easier to take your audience with you and these kinds of things. So I agree. And just for the accountability alone, and just like be a nice human being, god damn it, right? so so like that factor alone is worth the fear or whatever you might have of losing some privacy or something in the beginning. Okay, so we talked about, like, okay, how is it? I think on Quora it's pretty easy to, once you do these first few things, you get into it, you maybe get like a little hit or two, small ones even. I found it easy to keep writing on the platform. I would just write answer one question a day. That was my policy for a while. I think you do three, or you still do.
Recently, I'm back up to three or four now.
And is there anything else specifically that you would recommend for people? Like, how do I show up consistently on Quora once I start writing, right? Because we said, like, okay, it's all writing at the end of the day, and this showing up part, picking up the pen or the keyboard in this case, is the hardest part for most people. That's the biggest hurdle. But then a lot of people also, they do this and then they get to certain points, but then there's certain, I don't know, there seems more invisible barriers at like certain markers where they can't make it a habit, right? Then it's like life is busy, you know, when am I going to write every day and so on. So did you do anything specific, or was it for you, it was just, oh man, this game is so much fun, I just want to keep playing, and you just did that? Or was there anything specific that you did to make sure you do stay consistent?
I mean, it was natural for me. I mean, I couldn't, once I started writing, I felt like I couldn't stop. It became very addictive for me, and that's the kind of addiction I wanted. I wanted to be. I think for what new writers could do, put the Quora app on your desktop, your on your cell phone, put it on your main thing on your icons, and keep your notifications enabled on the actual app, and not the drop down thing, but keep the notifications enabled there. And it kind of works your dopamine cycle. It'll get you, like, you'll get notifications of likes. And I don't generally advise that with applications and social media, but I think with Quora, it's designed to keep you on the app and keep you motivated to write more. You get notified of who's commenting and who's liking your posts. And I think in the first few months, it's actually a good thing to keep your notifications enabled. And
True, you might
because it's
also
good. It's,
see questions, right? Like, you might see new questions, you get question suggestions. Sometimes people can ask you specifically questions and say, hey, I want you to answer that. And you could also just see an answer that you like, and that gets you in the mood to start writing, you know, about that topic or something. That's true.
100%. Yeah, it's the dopamine stuff, man. It's like it's okay to, you know, I think we're a lot smarter now about cell phones and social media and how distracting they are. But I think that with something like Quora, I think it's okay to gamify it a little bit. We already do that with exercise. We have Fitbit watches and we do, you know, Peloton workouts, and that's all gamification. You know, it's all about getting us excited about doing things that are productive. And I think you can leverage that to your advantage with Quora in the beginning. So.
I agree. Yeah, it's perfectly fine to okay, we all got the memo, I think, at this point, like on okay, you know, you should not have all notifications on your phone, and it's just this like constantly vibrating thing wandering across your desktop on its own, but because it's vibrating so much. But yeah, of course, then and then use it to something, like you said, a productive hobby, right? I think that's a great way to phrase it. Like if yeah, that's where you want to start, it's fine to just like use that and just yeah, trick yourself a little bit.
Mine are muted now, by the way. I eventually muted them. I don't have the Quora notifications. Once the habit becomes ingrained, you don't really need it anymore. So.
It does go away over time. I find that also.
Yep.
Okay, so let's say I'm on Quora. I've been answering questions for a while. Maybe I've got some followers or something. Now it they started who a few years ago, I think, actually now. I just want to get a pulse check. What's the state of making money on Quora? How where are we at? Where are we at with that now? And it also, is there anything specific you would recommend someone trying to do that, and which route they go if there's multiple? Because I think there's still spaces are monetized. They used to
Yeah.
monetize questions for a bit. I think they just ceased that. But then there's answering questions and so on. So
Yeah.
and I never really got off the ground with this. But I know you have, and you're learning a lot about that. So that would be interesting also to hear.
Yeah, it's so I talk with Quora's team pretty regularly about this. They launched the Quora Plus program. It's very similar to Medium's business model. And so what happens is, and the Spaces monetization is not going to be helpful to, I think, your audience. I never really bought into it, and I don't think the earnings are that great for it. Quora Plus is doing decently. The pool of earnings is growing each month. So I think that, so the way it works, coming back to what I was saying before, you set monet if you do Quora Plus, you should, if you get accepted, you should set your profile to monetize all. It will not paywall every answer that you write. It has an adaptive paywall. So you can see what's paywalled in the incognito window of your profile. And so it's usually about 1 in 4, 1 in 3 answers are paywalled. And when you convert someone to become a member, and they read your stuff regularly, you get a percentage of their $5 a month membership fee. It's very similar to Medium. So at the end of the day, the more views you get, the more money you tend to get. There's no meta strategy that I've found in terms of what topics to write about. It's still a matter of writing about everything. And so yeah, I mean, it's good. I want earnings to go higher. Quora has told me their goal is for this to be a full-time income for, you know, their top writers.
Oh,
So
interesting. Yeah, I think that's I don't want to say that that's different from Medium per se, but it definitely feels like Medium. Medium had some people making 6 figures a year, and some people making like 40, 50 grand a month at some point. So, and I think for Medium it was more like, do we want that? And then they were thinking, and I always give this example of like, if you have $5,000, what do you want? Do you want to give that to one person, or would you rather give $50 to 100 people, or even 500 to 10, right? So, because Medium is all about this sort of diversity of opinions, and it's like their thing is like anyone can write, right? And anyone can show up any day, and some days crazy stuff happens, like Obama shows up and writes a thing, or Jeff Bezos writes a thing suddenly. But and it's not always about getting famous people; it's about getting anyone who has an interesting perspective, and then sometimes also totally unknown people write about an interesting thing that happened, I don't know, in Venezuela in a school, or to like a nurse somewhere in Africa or something. It's crazy, but they write about it, and it just goes around the platform. And so I think for them, it was more okay, our priority is to try and incentivize more people to come on the platform and share, and it's probably better if we had more people making $100, $500 a month, because that would keep them around as hobby writers, rather than, you know, give it all to these pros who are just learning the formulas and keep cranking out articles. Or even if this stuff is good, right? It's probably not as valuable to them. So that's interesting that that's different, in terms of Quora, like what they're trying to go for.
Well,
That's
so there's
cool.
let me add into that a little bit. So there, to play devil's advocate, there's a trade-off here. You want a lot of writers making decent money, but at the same time, there's the readers. So, do you want a meritocratic system where the best writing is getting the most viewership and thereby benefits the readers more? Or do you want to spread the money? Like your opinion is just as valid. I think it's important that you spread money out and you have lots of people with different opinions writing. And I think that most platforms walk a tightrope with this because you don't want one guy making 50,000 a month while you have everyone else making $500 a month, because there's no one's writing is that much better than everyone else's to make 50 grand and they make 500. I think my sense of it is that platforms are comfortable, Medium especially, they're comfortable with a writer making 100,000 to maybe 180, 190,000. But when it starts to creep over 200 G's, they start to kind of go, we need to tweak the algorithm a little bit, which I get. You're making more than a New York Times journalist writing on Medium. That it seems kind of eh. But that's still great money. I mean, like, seriously, like, you're writing at home. And I've done really well on Medium, and it's I'm grateful for what I make. I don't, you know, I don't, I'm not here to get filthy rich. And if I could make my goal on Quora is if I could get my income up to 70, 80,000 on there a year, I would be very happy. I mean, I'm not trying to make 400,000. So I think at this point, it's important for your viewers to think about it more in terms of the content. The getting in the reps, and if they get a little extra money for coffee and groceries in addition to that, awesome. They'll have the knowledge, they'll have the solace in knowing that they're earning this money while getting better at something, and they'll probably make more money than if they did than they would self-publishing a book. And also, they're building a following. I mean, my writing on Quora is the reason I was able to quit my finance job to do this, and it's because I sort of went into the dark, into the wilderness, and was willing to fly blind for a couple of years and build that following. And I mean, I think I've got 350 something thousand followers in there, but it's allowed me to branch off. You have to have a home base if you want to build a side hustle, and you have to go through these hard early reps. And some of your viewers are going to get it much quicker than others. They're going to strike gold pretty quick, and they're going to figure it out. And even the ones that don't, I think it's just a matter of being persistent and having this hunger inside of them. To keep trying to figure it out. Like, you got to just keep getting back up with a relentlessness and a drive to chase, the thing you want. It sounds so cliche, but I think it matters a lot. So.
Yeah, and I mean also these like it's true, right? Like on Medium, when the shift happened in the earnings 2 years ago or something, or one and a half, when you could tell, okay, they're really going more for the smaller earnings, for the smaller pots, for more people, it's frustrating if you're the one trying to make like a full-time income on there, or you have been in the past, right? But then also I think any site that if you can make if you get to that point even, right? Because that's like 0.1% or something of the people who ever get there, making like 40, 50, 60, 70 grand. I mean, at some point when you're a pro and you're on multiple platforms and you branch out, like you said, you could even do that on multiple platforms, right? So over time, it's probably gonna like the cases where one writer makes 200 grand on some platform is probably a lot fewer than some writers making 10 grand on four different platforms or 20 grand on four different platforms. And because you get into, you're like, okay, I got this pro thing figured out now. But for most people, I think it's like you said, it's like you can just be happy that you get paid to learn, basically, because that's a part, and you get this following also. And I think a lot of people, we said this before, a lot of people come and go in these places, and because writing full time and writing all the time is not for everybody. I think you and I are we're even exceptions among writers in that sense, that we just want to write all the time, basically, on something or other. And so it is helpful. It will be helpful still if you build a following. If you have 50,000 followers anywhere on any platform, that's helpful when you're trying to launch a coaching business or be a speaker or launch an actual business or whatever you want to do. So that's another thing that it's easy for me to gloss over it because I'm so focused on the actual writing aspect and just pushing that. But I think for a lot of people, they'll be glad that they have 10,000 followers on a place like Quora at some point, because they can test ideas or do whatever with it. And if they made some money along the way, like that's cool, right? But yeah, if you start with that as your prime motivation, a lot of people fail and disappear very fast, whether it's on Quora or on Medium. If they say like, okay, I'm gonna go in, just try to hack this for the money from day one, yeah, those people usually they don't make it, because that's not a good motivation to last you long enough to actually get the numbers that you want to see.
So here's my I'll add on to that. So when they start, it's very important that when I started, celebrate the little milestones. When I got my first 100 followers, I got really excited about that. When I got my first 1,000 followers, Like I was like, yes, I keep a sticky note on my monitor that is like, this is my religion. It's I will do these three things. One, do hard things. Celebrate having done hard things. Three, look forward to doing more hard things.
Like, oh, that's cool.
You have to really like aspire to do these difficult things and make them enjoyable on some level. And you do that by celebrating the milestones and accomplishing things. And I do this with exercise. Like I'll set a goal of doing an hour of cardio, and at the 9 minute mark, I will hate my life. And I'm like, you know, it's boring. I've got another 50 minutes to go, but I just find ways of dealing with it and looking past the pain. And when I get to the hour mark, I make sure to go, yes. And I get myself a smoothie, and I just really make sure that, you know, I'm acknowledging the work and getting to the place I was trying to go to. And the same thing applies with writing. And I remember when I got my first 100,000 followers, that was a really exciting thing. Like, you just have to find ways to make it enjoyable. And I think it all feeds into having the right life philosophy of just, you know, getting things done and trying to move the ball forward. Don't compare yourself to people with a bajillion followers. Because when I started, I had, you know, no followers, and there was these people with 50,000 followers, and I eventually passed them, and they seemed like these giants, and I wasn't like trying to take them out or anything. It was just part of me being persistent, and you know, you just got to level up your life. That's all it is.
Yep. So cool. Okay. So last one before we wrap up, I want to look ahead a little bit and just get your take on, where do you think Quora is going? Like, is there some overall direction that you see, whether it's with the monetization or not, or just generally, are they moving away from this like search engine driven thing, or is that still core? And I don't know, whatever you see, whatever you've sort of reflected on in the last few months, maybe.
Yeah, I think that they're leaning into the Quora model. You know, they've been around for 10 years, just like Medium. And I think that when you get to, they're both startups. And when you get to this 10 year mark and you're still not profitable, you know, you're accountable to investors and shareholders. And I think that they're realizing that the creator model is the way to go. It's the best source of money, and you can bring in more talent. And they've told me, as far as I know, that they're leaning into this model and they want to build it and be less dependent on placement advertising. And so I think the future, even though we're sort of on the brink of a recession, I do think we are sort of insulated in this world because the platforms need us. You know, they want to create content and bring in more viewership. And all the research I've read has said that the future of the creator economy is bright. So that makes me happy, because it means, knock on wood, I'm not going to have to go back to an office anytime soon.
Yes.
And, yeah, I mean, I think it's a great time to get into this world, and I think that, you know, your viewers would be wise to invest in themselves. So, and Nick didn't pay me to say that, just for the record.
I agree. I think that that recessions are usually a good time to do anything productive, basically, right? It's like recession is a time when no one wants to think about money or investments, but it's the best time to buy stocks because like they're cheap, right? So a recession is not a good time to start a business because no one has any money to spend. But like if you do and you make it, right, those businesses that come out usually come out swinging and they come out super strong a few years later. So, and it's the same with creator economy, right? It's like when everybody's down and just trying to like get by day to day, if you can carve out an hour a week, 2 hours a week to write and or work on, you know, like some productive hobby, that's good. And then when the good times are coming back and everybody has lots of time and is hanging out on Quora or wherever else, then you're already there, right? And you already have a portfolio of answers and things like that. So I totally agree with that statement. I mean, it's always a good time to apparently get on this creatorship, but now maybe even more so than the past few years or wherever, because like we're in this rough patch. And that's also a time, I think, when people need creative stuff, art in whatever form, right? Sure. That's a time when people turn to these things, whether it's to relax, escape a little bit, just find new answers, find new ideas. So I think I agree. It's definitely a good time.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to keep you any longer, but I do want to know, where should people go if they want to, obviously you should check out Sean Kernan's profile on Quora. That's obvious. You go to Quora.com, you type in Sean pretty much and he shows up, or type in Sean Kernan. But what else, where would you want people to find you, to read more of your writing?
Yeah.
Find out.
I'm on Twitter as well. I'm at, Sean J. Kernan, SEANJKERNAN. And yeah, feel free to just, if you search my name, it'll pull up a full of my, I'm on Quora, Medium, Twitter. That's where I'm the busiest. I'm on LinkedIn more now these days, begrudgingly. I'm posting there, and but that's for another conversation. And yeah, so life is
Awesome.
good.
Cool. All right. So everybody, keep writing. And yeah, thanks. Thank you, Sean. Thank you for doing this. This was great. And
Yeah.
I hope I'll chat to you soon. I know, but I hope I'll chat to some of the viewers soon also. And have a good one, everybody. See ya.
All right, later.